Welcome to The Shared Desk, episode 43. Sing along if you know the words.
This is when I wish it was a video podcast so I could get the head bopping that's going back and forth. It's a little Mickey Mouse Club action. Did you guys get the Mickey Mouse Club in New Zealand?
Yes, we did.
Oh, lucky you.
Thanks, America.
Thanks, Obama. Hey, everybody. It's time for another Shared Desk. I am your host, T. Morris.
I can see your soul at the edges of your eyes. It's corrosive, like acid. You got a demon, little man.
No, I just got sunburned. I got really bad sunburn.
In the eyes.
Yeah, and sitting across from me, who is that lovely lady?
I'm Pip Ballantyne.
I may not be an explorer, or an adventurer, or a treasure seeker, or a gunfighter, but I am proud of what I am. I am a librarian.
Preach it, sister.
I haven't played that one in a while.
That's a good one.
Guess what? We got a special guest.
Oh, we do.
Special guest. Yes, you. You right there. You with the equal sunburn.
Hashtag worth it. Yeah.
Hashtag sphincter control.
Oh, hashtag not sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Hi, I'm Christina Payton.
All I've had today is like six gummy bears and some scotch.
But it's been a good day.
Absolutely. Exchange the gummy bears for chocolate.
There we go. And
pie.
And pie. We're going to talk a little
bit about that. Once again, we take people to pie.
Well, there's a story behind that. But before we get to the actual story of that, let's talk about what we've been doing. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. We hiccuped and missed a week.
Yeah,
but there was, we had a good
reason. I think after the number of months that we missed on the shared desk, I think our listeners can forgive us the odd hiccup.
Wait, we missed some weeks?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite?
Need I remind you, we had a, wait what, it's November,
oh,
and then we had
it was 2015.
So there was definitely some months there. So, you know, one week, woohoo, that's nothing.
Yeah, true. That's very true. So really the reason why we had that little hiccup with both this and Tales in the Archives was we were on deadline.
Deadline.
But which is a good thing for authors.
We like deadlines.
So
We don't. It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, because that means that we're working as writers, but without deadlines, we're not working, which means we don't
get paid. No housework gets done.
Exactly. But our house is impeccable. We'll talk a little bit about some of the works in progress that are happening right now. But no, we finished the Social Media for Writers book.
Handed it in. 70,000 words. That is literally a novel.
That is.
It's a novel on social media.
It's a novel on social media for writers. And I tell you something, if I get another one of those damn writers... That is...
Sending you auto DMs on Twitter?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Nobody's drinking, nobody's gambling, nobody's chasing tail. I have to deal with that.
I do. I have to deal with that.
Many of the auto DMs involve chasing tail. So
yeah, no kidding.
maybe Swearegen is on Twitter now.
That'd be great. Oh, man. Wow. I didn't want to think about that.
Yeah.
So as you know from listening to previous Shared Desks, though, there's a reason... why Christina is here. Christina, would you please let people know why you came to old Virginia?
Beer.
That's where we got to. That's where we got to. Now I'm talking about
the original plan.
What was the original plan?
We were going to CapitalCon.
CapitalCon DC in beautiful Washington, D.C.
They planned it for 2 years.
They planned it for 2 years, January 19th to the 21st.
We get to Sunday.
And that's right. Yeah, they were cool about it. They contacted me directly before they sent out the big message, and they said yeah, we're not gonna be having CapitalCon. And I'm like, wow, considering it's less than a week.
We've never had a convention have that happen. We've had conventions fall on their face before, but usually like a year, 6 months out.
This is the third con we know of that has had a falling out with the hotel. This is the fifth con total that has had something to do with the hotel where something
major
has
they either canceled
happened,
or they have to move.
Or they've got to move, yeah. But
so hotels, quit it.
Yeah,
stop doing that.
Knock it
Geeks
the heck
don't have
off.
That much money.
No, listen, hotels.
You utter creep.
We love you, but... Knock it the heck off, okay?
Someone suggested that it was because they're now hotels are now aware of geek culture, and they're like, oh, Comic-Con, they've got like heaps of money.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
I can tell you right now.
They don't.
No, they don't.
These are fan-run conventions run on the bones of their ass.
Yeah, and the volunteers mean well. The volunteers mean well. I mean, what we have heard, in my inner circles of con
fandom,
doing stuff, things, fandom, what have you, is that they want a higher caliber of clientele.
What? Are we not high enough?
Yeah.
hold on. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean,
are you saying we're not quality enough for these people?
Yes, because apparently what happens is that, I know this does happen. Sometimes fans show up for the convention. They pay the convention. They don't necessarily stay at the hotel, or they stay with friends who happen to be at the hotel. So, you know, a room that was built for four is actually housing six, or in some 16. Cases... 16. Yeah, I'll share with you both a quick story about my first Balticon experience, where I met somebody. I was going from point A to point B, and I said, "So are you enjoying the convention?" She goes, "Oh yeah, but right now I could just kill for a shower." We were in day three of a 5-day con, and on top of that, there was that lull in the conversation where I think she was kind of, because I had struck up a conversation with her and we were heading.
She was waiting for a shower, man.
She was waiting for me to say, well, I'm going off to a panel. Why don't you, here's my room key. Why don't you help yourself to that shower? I was like, good luck to you.
You don't pay for a room or even share a room.
There was a weird, there was a weird thing happening at this Balticon, and apparently it was.
And this was the one in the Inner Harbor,
this
right?
This was the one in the Inner Harbor. And the hotel, I was kind of shocked that the hotel kind of turned a blind eye to it. There were all these folks that were staying in the lower level of
basement dwellers.
It was there was sort of a lower basement level. Now this was at the Inner Harbor Hotel, not at Hunt Valley Inn. And they would some of them would actually camp out inside and sleep in the con suite. And then there was like this little alcove, and they would all sleep there, like a little group sleep in. And I was looking at this going, this is
like a pile of smelly kittens.
Yeah. They hadn't changed the litter box in days. And I was thinking to myself, this is a fire hazard waiting to happen. I was stunned that, but then again, I think what the hotel was thinking
But they ended up getting kicked out of their hotel. Well, they might have had something to do with it.
Yes and no. I don't know if they got kicked out or if they negotiated a better deal with Hunt Valley Inn. Now, the Hunt Valley Inn didn't let any of those shenanigans happen.
Yes.
As far as I know, Hunt Valley Inn was like, you know, if people are sleeping over, we don't see them. If we see anybody in the hallways, we kick them out. Because there was nobody asleep in the hallways. There might have been some people passed out. Well, that's a
different story.
That's a different story altogether. Mwah, love you, PG. But but that was an entirely different story altogether. No, I honestly don't know. But yeah, Capital Con, week of the show, and...
Jeez.
No convention. So, but you know, we said to Christina,
don't be defeatist, dear. It's very middle class.
we were determined to show Christina a good time. So before we actually get to the topic of the show, Christina, let's start with Friday. What did you guys do on Friday? Supposedly day one of the con, but actually this was day one of Christina Con.
Yeah.
Or Virginia Con.
I like Virginia Con.
Virginia Con, yeah. What
did we do?
we went to the Luray Caverns.
That's right.
And we also ate at Pavement.
Oh,
man. You had to bring that up.
Wow, okay. I'll just sit back and let the ladies talk a little bit about Pavement. Go on ahead.
Well, this has been a year in the making, this a restaurant. It's in Front Royal, Virginia. It's run by a guy called Christian, who is a big character in Front Royal. And he had a really good, like, but tiny restaurant, as I was saying to Christina. He was running it basically on a few hot plates.
Yeah.
But they made amazing food, and he became super popular.
And I might like to, I just want to interject on this. We've been with Christian since the beginning. You know, Pip and I discovered him.
About 3 years ago.
When he was Vino e Formaggio, and then he turned into Vino 124.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, hey, you know, when he opens his new place, you and I are going to be there, right? It's going to be just you and me. You and me.
I didn't.
But first, I must deal with treason within the ranks. The two renegades who voted against the bill.
We're the two renegades.
I have tolerance and betrayal, which they will soon indelibly learn.
Yeah, you worried about House Bolton in the house? You better worry about House Underwood. I'm just saying.
Look, we were there I just wanted Christina to have somewhere nice to eat, so that's where we went. Because I knew it was be good. Plus, we also decided it was a scouting mission for
Absolutely.
You. We didn't want you to go there and be disappointed. So, you know, we took a bullet for you.
Yeah, we did it all for you.
Yeah.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
You're lucky you get to sleep tonight. All right, keep going. So tell me more about Pavement.
Pavement is in an old gas station.
Right.
It has a lot of beers. Mm-hmm. Like, how many pages?
4 pages.
Yeah, 4 pages of beers.
That is pretty impressive.
And so they had a couple of ciders.
Oh, did they have Copper Mountain?
Yes, they have Copper Mountain.
Oh, so you were
but
happy.
But I actually went for another local one, but which was a bit
nice.
Less sweet, shall we say?
Okay.
Do
you remember their name so we can give them a plug?
No, I cannot.
Oh, well.
We'll have to go back.
Well, Copper Mountain.
Copper Mountain is a good place.
Yeah.
It's nice. We had a very intense young man who... I felt like he was from the 70s. I don't know.
He was channeling the 70s. He was 60s, like, yeah.
He just like wanted to get to know us. You know, I felt like he wanted to sit down with us and just shoot the shit, you know, man.
At one point he did. Yeah. He was next to me on the floor.
He's like, come on, let's just talk about this food, man.
It was a love.
Yeah.
Too much love.
What do you think about those crab tots, man? Yeah.
So we're good, right?
It was nice at first, and then I was like, okay, look, after about 2 check-ins about how the food's doing, man, you can just leave us alone. We're fine.
Just let me eat.
just let me eat and let me drink. Mm-hmm. But you had 2 beers, right?
I only had the one.
Oh, yeah, I had the one?
No, I did have 2.
Yeah, you do have 2.
And which 2 beers were those?
The Sweet Baby Jesus.
Hey, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sweet Baby Jesus. I got something in there for her. I got.
Welcome to level 7.
Sweet Baby Jesus.
Sorry, that corner was really dark and I couldn't help myself. I think there's a bulb out.
Yeah, but you know what? He's drinking Sweet Baby Jesus, so it's cool. Okay. I love me some Sweet Baby Jesus. That's some Duclaw Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a peanut butter porter. Love mm-hmm. it. I love it. My dad likes Sweet Baby Jesus. That's saying a lot. So that was the first one. What was the other one you had?
I don't remember the name.
It was an ale.
It was a brown ale of some sort.
Oh.
It was not quite so memorable.
Exactly.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
But it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't exactly memorable.
Well, there you go.
But I'm sure our lovely young waiter would have talked us through that, got us through that crisis. But it was very nice. It's not as big as I thought it would be. It's got some bar seating and some smaller tables, but probably not any more seats than the other place, but it's got a better kitchen.
Well, the beautiful thing is that after you had that experience with Pavement and Luray Caverns, you then had the experience with Old Busthead, and you met and you also enjoyed the food truck from The Bone. And you've heard us on this podcast talk about both The Bone, Bad to the Bone, and
The Bone food truck. Oh, and The Bone in Old Busthead.
And Old Busthead. So what were your impressions of Old Busthead Brewery? You can be honest. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it. If you dug it, you dug it.
I know you didn't
like the caramel macchiato stout. It was too.
I liked it, but I don't think I could drink a whole.
On account of the sweetness,
of
right?
Yeah, it was a little too sweet for me. Yeah. A little too much like coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker.
That's right. You're a tea drinker. That's right.
Right now, there's a young Katie going, I'll drink it all.
Yeah. And then there's but
the Saison was really good.
You like the Saison, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So something a bit lighter.
Yeah.
A little bit lighter.
Yeah, yeah. But overall, you know, were you impressed with the facility? I mean, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, it was a nice space.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful space.
Yeah.
And your thoughts on The Bone?
I want more.
Yeah.
You got to come to Virginia for the pulled pork.
Come back to VirginiaCon. That's all
right.
I mean, that's one of the bonuses of CapitalCon DC not working out. You saw more of Virginia in roughly 4 days than you were ever going to see of it. You know, if we were lucky, we would have gotten you down. We knew we were at least going to get you to Old Busthead because it was close. But I mean, you got to Old Busthead, you got to Luray, you got the Pavement.
And then
the next day we had tickets to the Northern Virginia Brewfest. First, Mom dropped us off. Thanks, Mom. We appreciate you. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, one of the guys was like, "Are you?" When I went to pick you up, I said, "I'm here to pick up my husband," and he's like, "Oh, you're so nice."
I've got a plan so cunning you could put a tail on it and call it a weasel.
That was the two of us when we entered Brewfest. It pretty much was buy tickets, drink beer, and there were some really good beers. Mm-hmm. I don't have my phone with me.
Just check out T. Morris's Facebook. Or Untapped.
Yeah, yeah. T Monster on Untapped or T Morris on Facebook. And we'll put the link in the show notes. Or rather Pip will. And and you can look at we sent, here's the part that we can't quite figure out. As far as we know, we purchased 20 tickets. I only rated 15 beers, but I know that I checked in with every beer.
I think we're just really bad at math.
It could be that.
So that means you're missing about five beers, right?
I'm missing about five beers. So 15, 20. This was my problem with math.
You shall not pass!
I had a tough time with math. And I've always had a tough time with math, especially when beer is involved. But I will say Atlas Brewing Company, which had the steampunk theme, and that's when Christina came through as like the super fan, because I said, I'm not gonna need my business cards. And sure enough,
you needed your business cards.
I needed my business cards, but there's twice. But there she was with my business card, and she slapped it down there. I was like, oh, wow, that's hardcore.
Slap it down.
But yeah, Atlas Brewing Company, they had some pretty decent beers, if I recall.
I would drink it again.
Yeah. The Harrisonburg Brewing Company that was out there, I want to say it was like the Brothers Brewing Company, Brotherhood Brewing Company. See, Harrisonburg is my stomping
grounds.
Now,
bear in mind that they only bring two beers, right, most of these places.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be their, let's be honest. They got to be their two best or their two most memorable. Like, for example, the one that everybody lost their minds on Facebook, and I even got a couple of comments on Untappd for it.
Was the Heritage?
Flying Dog. Flying Dog, which I found out the backstory behind their wacky artwork and all that stuff. The guy who runs Flying Dog, one of his neighbors was Hunter S. Thompson.
That's going to be some interesting stories right there.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, every time...
I didn't realize, but apparently Hunter S. Thompson loved beer.
Yeah.
Even though he had all those other interests, like, I don't know.
What do you mean? We had two bags of grass.
You mean this?
75 pellets of mescaline.
Yeah.
5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid.
Hi, neighbor!
A salt shaker half full of cocaine.
Can I borrow a salt shaker?
A whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers. Also a quarter tequila, quarter rum. Case of beer.
Oh, there you go.
He had a case of beer. Probably Flying Dog.
Well, so the one that everybody lost their minds over, though, was that Blood Orange Ale. Mm-hmm. And that was awfully good. I enjoy Flying Dog, but man, that Blood Orange Ale. I mean, you don't even like hoppy beers, and yet the Blood Orange really cut off on the hop
or
cut back the hops.
Yeah.
I really like that beer. So when you come to these festivals, you got to come out swinging.
Bring your two best.
Yeah, and... If this was Harrisonburg's two best, this is my alma mater. This is JMU territory. Harrisonburg's got to step it up. They
might be new as well.
They might be new. Yeah. Now I will say the biggest surprise for me now, there's a local Manassas brewery that I've been sort of hot and cold about, more cold than hot. Their name is Heritage Brewing. And every beer that I've tried from them,
which is about two or three.
I think they were the only beers that I actually gave a one cap to. But then we had their honey ginger ale, wheat ale. It was a honey ginger wheat ale. And this thing had a perfect balance of ginger, of spice, of hops and wheat. I tasted it all. I could taste the sweetness of the honey. I could taste the bite of the ginger. I could taste the wheat ale. I mean, they knocked it out of the park. And I was really, really impressed with that one.
Sounds like we're going to be doing a little
Expedition. Yes, the American Expedition. That was the one. That was the name. That was the name of that ale. But yeah, that's the thing. When you know, you got to bring your A game. We ate at a great food truck there. They had one. I was stunned. They had one food truck there.
There should be more food trucks in life.
Everywhere.
Just in general.
I want to go to my mailbox and find a couple of food trucks out there.
Or better yet, coupons for food trucks. Like, we're going to be here. Okay. Do this. And they actually had a food truck festival the Sunday of RavenCon. And
but sadly, it poured rain.
Poured rain that day. Oh. Yeah,
they could have a food truck festival right here,
right now, right in our backyard. But this was DC Slices. I'm going to give them a quick shout out. DC Slices, they brag to be the first pizza food truck for Washington D.C. and in 95 to 98 degree weather, and it was over 100 inside the food truck. They were cranking out some killed. Well, I loved my
Hawaiian
pizza.
It sounds like
pizza.
Hell pizza.
Yeah, pretty
they were
much.
In hell.
They were in hell. I had a great Hawaiian pizza, but the winner from for Christina from DC Slices was
the pepperoni.
No.
Oh no no. Oh, the bacon cheddar tater tots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tater tots.
Yeah, yeah, for the win.
Growing
for
up tater tots. Win. Yeah, because we had crab tater tots at Pavement.
Yeah, and
so maybe this is the theme of the weekend.
Theme of the weekend.
Cool.
We ended on a good note because we had our last ticket. And Christine said, "Let's do a cider. Let's end on a cider." And they had a couple of cideries there, and we ended with Winchester Cider Works. Malice was the was mm-hmm. what that's what we started with. But this guy, a bloke from he was not an Englishman. He was a bloke.
Yes,
he was a bloke from East London. And I said that I had married a woman in the Commonwealth. And he was like, really? And I said, yeah, from New Zealand. He goes, oh, does she like fish and chops? And I was like, oh, I really wish she was here for this. And Malice, nice, tasty, tasty. And then he gave us some of his private stock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a good time. It was a good time.
So we were thinking about maybe doing a steampunk event at Atlas.
Atlas, yeah. We're gonna talk to them
because they seem to have a steampunk theme.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. So I'm gonna reach out to them and we're gonna.
Because you know I love tea shops, but give me booze anytime, yeah. And I'll be happy.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So that was Saturday night. We came back Saturday night from that. Little tipsy.
A little tipsy.
I may have done some...
Felt like a brewery crawled into the car when I picked you guys up.
I may have done some drunken Facebook posts, much to the dismay of Piper J. Drake over at piperjdrake.com.
She knows you, so.
Yeah.
You know.
And then, let's see. Then today... Today, where do we go?
We decided to journey down to Richmond for pie.
Yeah, for pie and
guess
cider.
Guess where we went, dear listeners. They know. Yes. They know where we went. Proper what? Pie company.
Well,
Neil. What? We went to see Neil. And
we went
to
see Neil at Proper Pie. And what was the pie that you chose?
The steak and cheese.
And your thoughts?
You guys. Delicious.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
But I gotta ask, what'd you wash it down with?
Cider.
From where?
I don't remember.
Blue Bee. It's Blue Bee.
Oh, no.
She was too busy eating a pie.
No, don't do that.
Wrong answer.
No, it was blueberry cidery, yes.
I knew it was a B. Yes.
Which one did you have?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I'm terrible at names.
Wrong answer.
No, it was you had the, if I remember.
The Aragon? No.
No.
Aragon?
Oh, yeah, the Aragon. Yeah, the Aragon. Okay. We had two.
We had the hop shandy.
No, we had the mill brace.
The Millhouse Bramble.
Bramble. Millhouse Bramble.
Yeah, but the snifter ones were the hop.
No, Man, three in a row, and you're a regular.
Wrong answer.
It was the one that's. It's not the hop sop shandy. It's the one that comes in the skinny bottle. That's for me.
Not so easy, is it?
No, it's not.
Wrong answer.
It's served warm. Oh my God, I'm. Okay, I tell you what.
We'll fix that in the show notes.
No,
there.
I'm gonna find the bottle. You two
running.
Talk.
It's gonna run out there. Well, we did have the Millhouse Bramble, which is the raspberry, red, pink one that tastes like summer. I don't know. It did taste very good because we also had some sweet pies, so it went quite well with the sweet pie. What kind of one did you have? You had the pear?
The pear almond.
The pear
type.
Almond. I had the rhubarb and strawberry, and I think T had the pecan.
I didn't have pecan.
No, he had the pecan pie, not the pecan. Pecan's what you put underneath your bed, as I was told by an old lady. So what was it, actually?
All three of us were... We suck.
We suck.
The one that we
sorry,
had.
Sorry, Blueby.
Yeah. The Harvest Ration.
Harvest Ration.
Harvest
yes.
Ration. And
that
and
is
the,
like honey.
The
Mill it's
Race.
Beautiful.
The Real Mace. The one.
Mill you, Race Bramble?
Bramble. It's the one that's pink. It's got. It's almost like.
It's got like a raspberries sort of thing in it.
It's got a raspberry. I think it's mulberries. Though,
it's mulberries,
it?
I
yeah.
think.
Yeah. But it's pink. It's beautiful. It's very sweet. Goes really well. Nicely balanced. But The harvest ration.
Oh, I love the harvest
ration.
You
serve it warm. You serve it in those itty
bitty
little
snippers.
It's
almost like a liqueur.
Snippers. Yeah, it is. It's very heavy and very nice. And now we did not just go to Blue Bee and also just go to Proper Pie. But where did we take you today? Now, come on, you got to remember where we took you today.
Why do you keep doing this to me?
It's what we do.
Because we live in an age well beyond Sid and Marty Croft where you can walk through the halls of history. Do you remember where we took you?
No.
I just gave it to you.
Agecroft?
Yes.
Okay, I'm trying to think of what.
Agecroft Hall. Did you see what I did there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
yes,
great.
Yeah,
awesome. Woo! Yeah, Agecroft Hall.
He's horrible.
We took you to Agecroft Hall. And that was fun. That was good fun.
Yeah.
It was stinking hot.
It was like 100 degrees.
Except for in Agecroft Hall, where fortunately the air conditioning was spot on.
The Tudor air conditioning is amazing.
Yeah. Thank God for Tudor air conditioning. So this is in a nutshell. This was VirginiaCon, and then what's on the programming for tomorrow at VirginiaCon?
Well, we might take in a bit of Manassas history, and then end with some tea.
At the plains. That'll be nice. So hopefully we made this trip worth your while because, you know.
I felt awful about the Capitol.
Because, you know, Capitol Con went so well.
Though it wasn't our fault. But
no, it wasn't our fault.
We still feel bad about the fact that it went down, especially since you brought so many costumes
and
with you.
And 27 minutes into the show, we are finally getting into the topic, which is going to be about costumes and costume creations and inspirations and how we all kind of work together to have these wonderful things happen. So if I understand, you're going to change to a costume for us, right?
That's the plan, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
One of two.
I don't know about you. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Christina, what are you doing? Why is she standing up?
I don't know.
I don't understand what's
going
on.
Why are they bongo drums?
Who started out the bongo drums?
I don't know.
Wait, Christina, what are you doing?
Oh my gosh!
Whoa!
I did not know she could do that!
I didn't know where those horns came from! When did we get a horn section? I didn't know you had a traveling band. That's awesome!
But wow!
They were in my carry-on.
Yeah!
But I do like what you've changed into.
So if you go to the website, if you go to thesharedesk.com, you'll see pictures in the show notes.
Since this is not a video podcast.
Right, exactly. At least not yet. So, Christina, tell us about this costume that you've put together. What is this?
This is the suit Eliza wears when she meets up with Wellington before they go on the train in the last book.
So in the Diamond Conspiracy, when they're on the run.
She's disguising herself as a very attractive man.
Yes. Something about
a woman in a suit.
A woman in a suit does it for Wellington. Yes. Who knew?
He's not alone.
And because this is not a video podcast and it is getting late, you have a variety of mustaches to
is this like Eliza's kit of mustaches?
Yes, a mustache for every occasion.
That's right.
Yeah, we've got Bandito, we've got Famous, we've got
Tycoon.
Swindler. Swindler almost makes me want to say she's doing this.
Maybe that's what she says to Wellington.
That's probably what she says.
Probably. But so this was all designed. What was the process of making this outfit? Difficult? Fun?
It was
terrifying?
A little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I've never made men's clothes before. My aunt, who helps me and is my sewing guru, has never made men's clothes.
Oh,
either.
Yeah.
So we started off with a men's pattern for a jacket, and we had to shorten it because I'm not as tall as a guy.
Yeah.
And then we kind of had to take it in a bit because I'm not as broad-shouldered or anything like that as a guy. So that was fun.
I gotta say,
I heard a hint of sarcasm.
I actually worked at a sewing shop for a short time, or maybe a couple of years. And I got to say that's some damn fine lining in this jacket.
Yeah, you line the jacket.
You got
shoulder pads.
Shoulder pads.
I had to add shoulder pads or else it just kind of...
Yes.
You got this really amazing vest that I am coveting. This is
a
gorgeous
vest. Or waistcoat, as Wellington would call it.
Yes.
So as we talk about it at the show a lot, there's a collaboration involved in what we do and what we talk about on the shared desk. So you're actually our first cosplayer. We have another cosplayer all the way in
Germany,
all
Bavaria.
The way in
Bavaria.
Bavaria, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With good with good beers and wines, I imagine.
Good beers and wines, and apparently access to archives because she did a whole shoot in the archives. Yeah. But my question, I've always wanted to ask this because to me this is like an achievement unlocked that we're actually sitting here
we
talking.
We get a badge and an app for it.
Yeah, talking to someone who's cosplaying. So the question is, what inspired you to say this is the outfit I'm going to go with?
The suit or
yeah, the suit.
The suit. It was different. Mm-hmm. I do like staying to pants. pants are really comfortable.
Yeah.
Not so much fun to make.
Right.
I don't know. It was kind of a pivotal scene in the book. Something mm-hmm. Eliza hasn't done that yet, which that was fun. And I think I actually emailed you and asked you if you had any thoughts.
Yeah, yes. we did have a little conversation about the suit wearing and you know.
So you've heard us talking about Virginia Con. Now we're going to talk a little bit about our history with Christina. We were going to Wichita for the Emerald City Steampunk Convention. And that was as far west as we were getting. And I remember Christina emailed us and said, you know, would you be cool if I came out to meet you guys? And she came out. And the thing was, you came out dressed as Eliza. And we found out that was what you dubbed, or you would eventually dub as the Antarctic Mission mm-hmm. Eliza. Now, could you just quickly, I think we have a picture of that we can probably put on the in the show notes, but quickly describe that costume to our listeners.
A lot of that was thrift shop finds. Mm-hmm. I'm not a sewer. I have never been a sewer.
I think I'm looking at this jacket. I'm thinking
you're a sewer
okay,
now.
Well,
yeah.
sewing machine. What?
But like a lot of steampunk stuff comes out of thrift shops.
Oh,
so, yeah.
This shirt came from a thrift shop, and so mm-hmm. the shoes.
In the expedition. Yeah, but in the expedition outfit, Antarctic mission. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, you had dynamite strapped on your legs.
It was a very homemade
prop heavy costume. Yeah. Yes. Now one thing I did want to mention, and we got to make sure we get a picture of this in the show notes because I'm pretty sure somewhere in my archives of photographs, I've got a shot of your original guns.
The Panamu mm-hmm. pistols.
The Panamu pistols.
Yeah.
Which have gone through a bit of an evolution, haven't they?
I think I'm on their third incarnation at this point. Yeah.
And they look great this go round.
Good, because I'm tired of making them.
We didn't ask you to remake them, okay? you're a little Miss Perfectionist going, no, they gotta look.
I could inset them better.
Yeah, exactly.
It took me a week.
Now, so
that was Eliza costume one.
Yeah. And then like you, and then you said, you know, then we started up a rapport after that. And mm-hmm. we rocked it with that event. That was a fun event.
That was fun.
And then you flew out, again, because as far west as we were going to get to
Des Moines,
Iowa last year. So you came out.
Was that only last year?
That was only last year, mm-hmm. and that's when I dubbed the band when we got the band together, which included, let's see if I can get everybody. We got Mel Fox, we got Allie Grauer, we got PC Herring, and you, and I guess you could say our roadie or our roadie slash manager was Jolie Davis.
Yes,
The shenanigans we got up to that weekend was way.
I feel
fun.
Like Eliza drank a lot of beer that weekend, but
she
maybe
did.
Maybe I have a bad recollection of that. I'm sure we've got pictures of you,
you
like holding a big stein of beer.
We were at dinner and I had, what was it? It was Blue Moon mixed with Guinness.
Yeah.
It was a black and blue.
Black and blue.
In like
a giant mug. Yeah.
And I had two. But I just remember taking a drink and everybody at the table just looked at me and the cell phones came out.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Because you were cosplaying as Eliza.
Eliza moment.
I was staying in character.
Yeah.
Now that's
yeah.
But you brought out two new costumes that
weekend.
Des Moines, right?
Yeah.
That was the opera dress.
The suffragette.
And the suffragette.
And then I upgraded the Antarctic Mission one.
Get it a little extra.
So what inspired the opera dress and the suffragette one?
The opera dress, because it's a pretty dress.
So it had multiple functions.
Yes, it was pretty. And I just happened to... A lot of it is finding the right material to work with. I'll make the outfit depending on what material I find.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a swap meet in Sacramento, and there was a fabrics dealer, and he was selling his stuff really cheap. Mm. So that's how I got so many yards of the green fabric, and that's how I could do it.
It was a beautiful, beautiful fabric. Nah,
it was great. And you had nice jewelry to go with it and everything. It was very... Etsy.
Or a fabulous sheik.
The what?
Isn't that what she? Eliza got her jewels from a sheik.
Oh, the sheik. That's right. That's
but we're
right,
not
the
telling
sheik.
Wellington that.
No, we don't tell them
about
that.
Wellington, I bought it online.
We're not giving away any of our jewelry. Come on.
Right. So then we got and then there was the suffragette one, mm-hmm. which was that actually had a little more of a historical bent. Were you not just using our novels as your source guide, but you were also looking at some of the history that was happening around the time?
Because that actually
looked like your most historic at that point, your most historically accurate.
You looked like you could be pounding the pavements with
you did.
Not in those boots. Those boots, man. I had the fabric for a few years. I went to some other event. This lady was selling all her extra fabric, and it was really nice plaid. I got this from her too. Nice weight to it, and I knew it would lay nice. And then I got the boots for Christmas. I'm like, okay, those two go together. What else can I do with it? And then I had to do a shorter skirt to show off the boots.
Right.
And then I wanted to do the
scandalous.
I know. No ankles were showing though.
No, okay.
No, they were covered. The ankles
were
covered.
No bare ankles anyway. Yeah.
No. And then the jacket, it was kind of based on that blue dress or the red dress from the Simplicity pattern, but the infamous steampunk dress.
Oh yes, yeah, these ones you used, yeah.
So it was like the half coat with the long tail in the back. So I figured that would translate well with that material. And then I'm like, well, this could be a suffragette thing. I need something from the other book. And this could work.
Yeah. Okay. It came out great. Okay.
Yeah, it did. And this is a great... I'm sorry we weren't able to go for the full effect with the mustache. We'll have to reserve that for another time, another convention. Because there obviously will be another convention.
There has to be.
I know. I know. Yes. We would love it to get you out here for Balticon, but we know that's bad for your timing and your day job thing and all that stuff. But you said you actually had another costume for us on this?
And it's not steampunk.
Really?
Now,
can she do that trick again?
Yeah. Do you have enough room around here to spin around again?
I think I can manage, yeah.
All right, then. Okay, she's getting up again.
Oh.
Up, and there are the bongos.
That's a good sign.
We know shit's about to get real.
Okay, we're ready for the surprise.
Here it comes.
Is that a cloak?
That is. Where's Tayrosin?
Oh.
Look at you. You are cosplaying. Another first.
Uh-oh.
You know what that means? Verana, V for cosplay.
You gotta bring it.
A gauntlet has just been thrown. Literally.
Throwing the gauntlet. Let me look at the gauntlets. Oh my gosh.
So, okay. So, as you can see in the show notes.
You can really hurt someone if you slap them with that.
Yeah. As you can see in the show notes, Christina has braved the temperature. Yet, it's a good thing that Capital Con DC did not happen.
Yes.
We need a
fall convention.
We need a winter convention.
A winter convention.
We need a winter convention.
There's the one in Boston.
Yeah, there you go.
Arisia. You would be wonderful in the snow in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, wow, you cosplayed as Deacon Sorsha Ferris. Mm-hmm. Going back. So, Pip.
First Sorsha cosplay.
First Sorsha cosplay, Pip. Tell us your feelings. Tell us your feelings.
I have all the feelings. All the feels.
Really? Really?
Yes, all the feels.
Are you feeling this? Because right now she was pretty despairing in that cloak. She was despairing in that cloak.
Well, we took, obviously we're going to put in the show notes the picture we took of Christina standing next to the large cover of Geist.
Yeah.
It looks exactly the same.
I know. And you were just looking at her.
I am tripping bare balls.
Yeah, I think I was. I was like, wow.
But as for you, I think
oh my God,
I
stop talking.
Yes, I am still talking. But as for you, young lady.
For the rest of you, lanyards will be handed out on a case-by-case basis.
I think you've earned your lanyard.
Yeah, I think
you've earned your lanyard.
So did you
Bazinga.
Make the blouse, or is that a thrift store find?
I made this.
Wow.
You made that? I made the shirt, yeah.
Wow.
That's lovely. Wow, was it a pattern, or?
It was. Yeah, my aunt had it. It's like from 1960s office blouse.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, they made fancy office blouses back then.
So here's some other questions for the cosplayers. What can we, the authors, do apart from keep writing stuff? What is it that helps make that inspiration happen with cosplayers? What is it that makes you say this is the character that I want to cosplay? I know it's a tough question, like, but
I don't know. Lightning in a bottle, right?
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, it's just like pick your favorite song type of thing. I don't know. You do it because that's what you're drawn to.
Well then let me change it up. What's more challenging? What was more challenging? The things you put together for the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, or this lovely creation from the Books of the Order?
That green dress man was hard. that one took me like a month.
Wow, really?
Well, I was working on it during weekends, but it was like all day Saturday every weekend.
But this one
came together really fast.
But you did some leather working there.
Yeah.
I would imagine that the leather work would be tougher than the dress, but I guess not.
This was easy.
Wow.
I'm really good at putting in grommets. I didn't know that.
You're good at whacking things, right?
Yeah. Like, give me a hammer.
Whacking in a grommet, apparently, is easier.
So, okay, baby. This baby. Not you, baby, but this baby right here. My baby.
I'm just impressed that the color of the cloak, actually, you got the color of the cloak really good.
So we're good, right?
Yeah, I think we're good. So, did you make the pattern for the cloak, or was that a...
I took two patterns and put them together.
Ah, because you got the point, the hood, just right. Jason Chan somewhere is going to be very excited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we just need the giant Rosen.
Well, we did have the Rosen very quickly, but he was like, I'm not going to be exploited. This is going on Facebook, isn't it?
Yes, not Rosen, not to actual size. Yes.
Wow.
Thank you. Oh, it was a lovely surprise.
That is a great surprise.
Better than a mermaid.
Yeah, better than a mermaid. I don't know why were you thinking about a mermaid? Why did you think?
I don't know.
Oh, well, there you go.
I was trying to think of the most ridiculous things you could have been.
Well, there could have been that. Yeah, yeah, sort of a madman.
But
mermaid.
I totally didn't expect that it was going to be Saoirse. So
no.
Yay, Saoirse.
No, this is great. No, this now we got to find. Well, okay, maybe we could get her out here in April, because sometimes April can be a chilly-ish month. Mm. Or wait a minute, there is always Mysticon. Mysticon's in February
in Roanoke, right?
In Roanoke, in southern. In
You'd
Southern Virginia, you would need this cloak in Southern Virginia in Friday. Yes, you would, because Roanoke can get tre chile. Mm. So that's a possibility.
And they wanted us to come out to Mysticon. Yeah. Anyway. So if anyone's out there for Mysticon,
Mysticon.org. They're good people too. They're good people, and I'm pretty sure they have a good relationship with our hotel.
Probably very unlikely to break down the 5 days.
So now here's let's press even further into the mind of a cosplayer, because I'm digging this thing. All right, so you upgraded the Eliza costume, the Eliza Antarctic Mission costume. Now here's my question: why wasn't it good enough the first time around? Really?
No.
Because we loved it. I mean,
we were like woo,
yeah.
But I knew. And then I actually met this guy as a hobby. He makes things out of leather. So I'm like, I have a proposition for you.
No, oh, I bet you do.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, have you ever worked with dynamite holsters?
Seriously, Lana, call Kenny Loggins, because you're in the danger zone.
I think that's probably something that regular people don't have, dynamite holsters.
Yeah,
I'm just
saying. There you go. They should.
It really sets off an outfit.
Yep.
Okay. So... Now,
so he made the second generation,
the belt with the pouches and the holsters themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as excited as we were when we saw you in Wichita, Des Moines, you brought it. You look great in Wichita. And I honestly think we can honestly say you started a trend, because right after you, the earlier mentioned, Verena, Verena, aka V for Cosplay. I believe that is her Facebook page. Show notes.
Links.
Yeah. V for Cosplay also pulled out an Eliza as well. And then
we just need some Wellingtons.
Well, I'll go one further. Did you remember at Balticon, Beth Case was cosplaying
Raven McAllister.
Now, Raven McAllister has been I think she's been mentioned in the books. She actually appears in Tales of a Tesla Ranger, and yes.
She's a villainess.
She's a villainess, and she was a. It was funny because
I'd be worried now. Eliza and Raven coming.
That could be a stitch, but no
stitches would be required.
But yeah, Raven McAllister. We're actually seeing people cosplay these characters, which is so. Why do you do it? I mean, why do you?
It's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of effort to come all the way, and then I mean, granted, we sort of said thank you with beer. There is that.
That's the best way to say thank you.
Was Eliza your first cosplay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What prompted you to go? I'm going to spend my copious free time.
Some free time.
All my free time.
Losing blood.
I'd always been kind of curious about it. I like the aesthetic of steampunk a lot, which is what got me into the books.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found you guys. I'm like, oh, it's on.
We're
good, right?
Yeah. Oh, we're good. I like the design aspect of it. I like finding the materials and doing all the shopping for the shoes.
Shopping's good.
The jewelry. That's always fun, these pants. The sewing part is, it's a love-hate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
When it's going good, it's fun. When it's not going so good, that stupid lining. I didn't line that until actually I had already made the cape because I was basing it off Jason Chan's cover exclusively. And then I was reading the books. I'm like, damn it, they're lined. With black lining.
That's right, they are. Because I specifically say that when they have a funeral, they flip it around.
Okay.
Thus, being cruel to cosplayers everywhere because they have to line the cape.
Now we know why people aren't cosplaying a lot as Sorsha, because they're like, I'm not lining that thing.
It's a lot of material.
Yeah. No, I remember in college I hired a friend who was a seamstress to make me what I found out later was called a Harbinger's cloak. Which was black wool on the outside, but on the inside I had a nice satin black lining. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'll never do this again. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. But because
you have to get it to drape right
as
well.
Yeah,
you're right. And you chase satin around. It doesn't lay still for you. No. So when you're cutting the pattern, it's moving. When you're sewing the pieces together, they like to slip and slide all over the place.
As I told Christina the story about how I made my prom dress, and it was it was satin as well. And that's, I think, like 50% of the time was me swearing at the satin and chasing it around, trying to pin it, trying to sew it, trying to cut it.
You literally bleed for these projects.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, so I guess the next big question, of course, the other thing we did to make it worth your while since you came out here and, you know, Capital Con, DC. But we did show you the first three chapters of, of book five. So the question is, are you getting ideas already for Eliza in book five?
Yes.
We already discussed some costume options that Eliza might have.
We think Eliza is multicultural enough that she will get into a sari.
Yes.
Now, I'd still like to know some of the significances of the sari, whether it's just a fashion statement or whether there's something deeper in it. And, of course, we've got to run that by Suna Dasi over at Steampunk India to make sure that it's not Eliza being insensitive. Because I don't picture Eliza, she herself, being a colonialist. A colonialist. Somebody from New Zealand to just basically wear something because it's chic.
I think she would wear it if someone in the culture asked her to wear it.
Right.
Like if, you know, can we say who one of the characters is in that?
I don't see why not. Yeah. We can go ahead and say that.
Well, we're going to run into two family connections in Eliza's brother is going to actually be
Jerry.
Jerry's going to be in the book. And Ahita from book two, her sister
Amara,
is going to be in the book as
Amara
well.
Amara Punjari.
So there's going to be some cultural mixing, I think, yeah, in there and stuff.
And that's why we brought in Suna. So you might be talking to Suna. Now here's the other thing. This is what I'm trying to dispel with this podcast, or at least one of the things I like to dispel from this podcast. V for Cosplay. Mm-hmm. She also stepped up and did this whole very elaborate Eliza thing. She did a cosplay herself. Was your reaction to V, was it like, who is this trying to muscle in on my action? Or was it sister? Sister!
Come on, girl!
Because girl! Yeah, and girl,
let's talk shoes. Come here.
Yeah.
And we have.
Because unlike the Heroes of Cosplay stuff, I noticed that the two of you were swapping stuff back and forth. I'm like, oh, this could be dangerous.
Oh, yeah. There's Facebook Messenger, man, just back and forth.
Yes.
She's good people. She's good people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. We got to get her here. We got to get her here for a comment.
Yeah, but Christina's going to...
Oh, that's right.
Europe, right?
Maybe
there might be some Eliza chasing Eliza action.
I'm still thinking
Eliza shooting at Eliza action.
I'm thinking it's two parallel. It's a parallel. It's a rift in the fabric of space and time, parallel universes, and these two Elizas have met, and now they
it's the beginning of the singularity, man.
It's the beginning of. And they know it. They know that they have started some sort of weird chain reaction. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go out and they're going to go pubbing. They're going to do a pub crawl till the end of the universe. It's going to be like that movie with Simon Pegg.
I want to see two Elizas drinking out of that boot that you had. Yeah. Oh,
that was the only thing that you missed, because it was the Thursday night before the con. We went out and we did the pub crawl in Des Moines
and drank out of a boot.
And we drank out of a boot. And I think you would have loved that pub crawl. We'll have to remember. I can see
two Elizas in Bavaria drinking out of a boot.
That would be
a boot
awesome.
Each, not the same boot.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Separate boots.
I don't share beer.
Sounds good.
Wow, is that really the time?
It really is the time, and that's why I'm not doing a Writers of the Clock or anything like that. We wanted to dedicate this to this episode to Christina because of all this incredible work she has done. I can honestly say I don't know which costume I like more, the Sorsha costume or the Eliza.
I'm just touching it.
Or the Eliza Antarctica mission. I mean, that one's a favorite. The Eliza Antarctica mission is a very cool one because that's the whole thing. That's the props. Each incarnation, even the simple toy guns that you did with the little spot of Panamu. I remember we talked about that for days afterwards.
The details. We were like, oh, people notice the details.
And then when you upped the game and did like an actual hey, I was like, wow. And now the new models that you brought, I'm like, yay. but this one, so you were planning to pull this out on the last day. Uh-huh. That would have been a blast.
Yeah.
So are you planning to take these costumes and do something with them in California as well? Are you attending any conventions or?
I'm going to WizardCon in San Jose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How hot will it be there?
It's first weekend in September, so it's going to be hot. I'm actually not too far from the lighthouse in the Diamond Conspiracy.
Oh, really?
No, by Don's Early Light.
Don's Early Light.
The lighthouse.
Oh,
not from San Francisco.
Marta Point. Oh, I'm blanking on the name. I can see it.
We write the book and then we completely forget about whatever.
Because we were working on the book four and then it was over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know the one you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I found it.
Oh, sweet.
It's a public park.
Yes.
So, again, when I have all this free time.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm seeing maybe a photo shoot and then the back, like a photoshopping an explosion.
Photoshopping and an explosion.
An airship, at least.
Yes, airship.
Absolutely.
Flying car. Something like that.
Great. That'd be great.
All of the above.
Tesla running for it, you know.
Now, so what about that? So, you got some of those cons. Are there any cons you, apart from the WizardCon one, is there any other cons you know for a fact you're going to go to?
No.
All right.
We'll find some.
Oh, there's another. You know what? I just thought of another one that we could always make a trip and go back to. It was Anacricon, February in Georgia.
That's right.
That was a chilly time.
That was chilly. This is how we plan our convention.
Yeah.
We want to go somewhere cold.
We're going to I'm going to test this cloak.
Yeah, yes. No kidding.
Well, there's a reason that steampunk generally, you know, things happen in the fall or the spring or the winter. Yeah. But
So what about other books? Are there any other books that you've read apart from Geist and the ministry books that you're feeling an itch now? Mm-hmm. I mean, have we set you on the path of a very slippery slope?
It's all fabric from down here.
For WizardCon, I was playing around with the idea. This is right after I saw Battle of the Five Armies.
Uh-huh.
I want to do a steampunk Thranduil.
Oh,
that would be sweet. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be sweet.
Gender bent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fierce.
Thigh high black boots, black corset.
And, yeah,
and the jacket, fabulous with the train.
I already fabulous. Have the wig.
All right, fabulous hair.
Oh, yes.
He is fabulous.
He is fabulous. Well, he's Lee Pace for
Lee
Pete's
Pace
sake.
Is amazing.
Yeah. He's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Well, I'm hoping to twist your arm and get you to read Red Shirts, because I would love to see an actualized version of the Red Shirts. Of the Red Shirts uniforms, the things that Scalzi, because I don't think that you could just clone Star Trek and say, well, there it is. I mean, he had to make it different enough that it wasn't Star Trek, but people knew it was Star Trek. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Good times, Red Shirts. That was a good book. That was one of my favorites, Red Shirts. Although now I hear the other one I need to read is Ready Player One. That's supposed to be really good too, so I got to get on that. But we are not doing that. We basically have a very open calendar now. The next
until
the end of July, beginning of August. We don't have the actual dates up there, but we're going to be in New York City
at the end of July, beginning of August for the Writers Digest.
The Writers Digest Conference.
Not much cosplay there.
No. In fact, I need
except
to
us. We'll be cosplaying as authors.
Well, actually, we're going to cosplay one day. We're going to cosplay in steampunk.
That's right. We are doing a steampunk panel, so we need to bring it.
And then we're
going
to also...
And we're going by train, so we could fit a lot of stuff on a train.
Yeah.
And then we've got... And then we're also going to be doing a panel / workshop on...
It's a panel.
On
don't say / workshop. It's a panel.
It's a panel. On social media for writers.
Yes, which is surprisingly the book that's coming out in December.
Right.
Social media. Although it also could go for other people as well.
Yeah. Okay. And I believe that's it. One thing we did want to talk about real quick, though, in retrospect, was last week we did a wonderful, wonderful steampunk event.
At this cute little bookshop. In Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was a tea shop.
It was the tea shop, but there was also the bookshop was
bookshop
there.
Bookshop was with it.
And also they have... So the Mechanicsburg is outside Harrisburg.
Outside Harrisburg. Good job.
And it's so cute. They have a herb shop that's been there since 1968, and it's in an old building. And then they
called
have...
Called the Rosemary House.
The Rosemary House. And then out the back, they have a beautiful garden. And then next door in the shop is a tea shop, which is so adorable. And the lady made... a huge effort with she made like little gear shaped cookies, and she made like
a little chocolate top hat with goggles on it.
Little goggles on it.
And the salad.
It was the most effort. I mean, we've been to tea shops before, and we love tea shops, but this one actually made effort to do some steampunk stuff.
Their menu, the appetizer, in which a light motif is served upon the first arrival.
Yes, they really got into it.
They got into
and
it.
And the people, they all dressed up.
Well, some people, all the staff dressed up.
And quite a few of the people who came there. And we filled the tea shop.
And
there were some little old ladies who we had to explain steampunk to.
Yeah, they were very sweet. Bless their cotton socks.
But they bought books.
Yeah, and then there was this, the lady who ran the mystery shop, she was the one that was carrying our books. And she came up to me afterwards and she said, I would really like to talk to you guys. If things go well, I'm doing this event next year. I'd like for you guys to be my keynote speakers.
Mm.
So we're going to cross our fingers and hope that the event goes well for her this year so that we can talk about next year. But just Mechanicsburg, PA, really opened up their hearts. And
it was hot.
And
we were sitting out in the garden. We were under a holly bush.
Kept attacking people.
It kept poking people in the fascinators.
But no, it was very
trying to take people's fascinators off their heads.
Yeah, but it was a wonderful event. We just wanted to make sure we had.
I gotta say that
to
every time we've been to a tea shop, we've done well.
Yeah.
It's our natural environment.
It really is. So find us a tea shop out there.
Oh,
And
there has to be one in San Francisco.
San Francisco. Yeah. Come on.
It's got to be cutesy though. We like cutesy,
like overly cutesy.
We don't want any of these modern places.
Yeah, you might have to go to Berkeley for overly cutesy. Maybe.
Maybe I can scout around.
All right, there
check
we go.
It out.
There we go. So, you got anything else you want to add?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
anything you would like to add in closing, Christina, for your stay here and all your effort? Golly, day, this is great. Great stuff.
Well, thank you for making it worth it.
Oh,
I wouldn't do this for anybody.
Thanks.
Except Lee Pace.
Yeah.
And on that note, as you may or may not already know, the Shared Desk is a non-commercial, non-derivative, share-alike 3.0 United States license, protected under the Creative Commons. You can find out more with them at creativecommons.org. We would say you can find out more about Christine Payton at, but she doesn't have a website.
She has a Tumblr though.
She does have a Tumblr. Tell us about that Tumblr.
It is Eliza D. Braun is my guru.
Tumblr.com.
And you can also find her on Twitter at Gucci.
Gucci, G-O-O-C-H-I, 26.
26.
Links in the show notes.
Yeah, links in the show notes. Pip, where can people find you?
Everywhere. PJValentine.com, Twitter, Philippa Jane, Pinterest, PJValentine.com. I'm just everywhere.
You're everywhere. And don't forget, too, 703-791-1701. If you want to leave any three of us a voicemail. Now, Christina may not be here to answer it, but we'll answer it on her behalf.
I'm sure she'll enjoy it.
And you know what? What's the worst that could happen?
You utter creep.
That's right. So until next time, enjoy the ride.
We'll catch you later.